second. So just to recap the week of prayer, or half week of prayer we've had, each of the sessions, Monday and Tuesday mornings and evenings, and finally on Wednesday morning, were each led by different people, as I said at the beginning, and they themselves will provide a short summary of what happened during the session that they led. I get the double bonus of having to do Vicky's as well, because she's not here, so sorry, you don't get rid of me that quickly. But just at the beginning of the week of prayer, we did, as we did for most weeks of prayer, on the Sunday we started off with an encounter worship. And that's to focus our hearts and our minds and to set the mood, if you like, by holding that session. And during that time, as there has been throughout the whole week, there was a good number of people who attended, and there was a real tangible sense, I think, for those that were here, of the Holy Spirit being present. And that was common throughout the whole of the week, which was really a blessing and encouragement. And as the week progressed, it became quite clear that it was right and proper to start the week with that encounter worship. And we found and we felt that during the week that worship played an important part of knitting those sessions together. And we'll hopefully see that in a second. And I don't know what the others are going to say. I know what happened in the sessions, but I don't know what's going to be said. So this could be a real rousing morning this morning. Everything all knits to place. You know what I'm like when we see God moving. So I could be a mess by the end of it all. But it was encouraging that there were reoccurring instances throughout the week where words, scriptures, or other items were given independently and at different times. And as an example, on Tuesday evening, somebody gave a Bible verse, and then Kerry said and shared, well, actually, that was the same Bible verse that she was going to base her session on the following day. So God confirmed that to Kerry. And that happened many times throughout the week, I believe, for those that were there. A few nods? Yeah, brilliant. Monday morning was led by yours truly. And I felt that to start the week and to tie in what we've been saying over the previous Sundays in the sermons, that we should focus on changes, which is why there's a picture of a bell tower. That's the ringing chamber in some church somewhere. And I admitted that in my younger days I used to do bell ringing. Not a lot of people know that. We all know it now. Campanologist extraordinaire. Well, campanologist. Maybe extraordinary, but anyway, that is a very clean bell. You weren't supposed to laugh at that point, Nicky. That is a very clean bell chamber. Those look like new bells in a new frame. But the point was, is that at New Year, we often say, let's ring in the changes, don't we? And what do we mean by ringing in the changes? And I felt, as we started the week of prayer, that actually we should be praying in the changes. That there are a lot of changes taking place right now. But I also asked the question, why do we ring in the changes? What's the history behind it, if you like? And a lot of it was about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, making a song and a dance and a noise about it. More noise, the better. And quite often as well, historically, the more noise you make drives away the evil spirits. And that's what we want to do. We want to proclaim God's name. We want to drive away the evil spirits. So we spent time praying about the changes that we know as a church we are going to be going through in the coming weeks and months, which included, as an example, the obvious one, searching for a new minister. And people were invited to seek God's discernment to consider what he may want to change either in us, in our church, or how we engage with the community. And here are some of the things that were brought in that meeting. And the opening text came from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here, just like the new year. It was also felt that there was a time of consecration, rededication of our church, and it was suggested that this ties in with the previous prophecy of God wanting his church back. And we had a bit of a conversation about what does that really mean. 2 Chronicles 7:5 says, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle. That's a lot of cattle. And 120,000 sheep and goats. A lot of sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated to the temple to God. So we prayed about dedicating our church to God, and what goes on in here is God's work. There's also a sense about God redeeming our time. How do we spend our time? How we spend it in prayer? How do we spend it in times of reflection, worship, and serving? 2 Peter 3:18, and all these Bible verses were all brought during the meeting. It's not just something I've thought of. They were all given during the meeting. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 was given to reinforce that sense of our time. But grown in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to be the glory both now and forever moving forward. And we'll come back to that in a second. And then someone also brought that we are all, not just the trustees, and this came up again later, as you'll see in a second, that we are all one in the body of Christ. Our unity is revealing or healing, of which we pray for much more of. We want more of that, don't we? And there's a sense and a reminder that KBC is known for its friendliness. It's known for a place where people can come to rest and can come to be restored and to grow. And that was our inheritance. That is our legacy. That is what we are as a church. And that's not changed. That's one thing we don't want to change. But we want to change how we perhaps can do it, how we can do more of it, and how we play our part in that. And that brought us on to praying and lifting up for those in need, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And we've already heard this morning, we've heard it for several weeks, there are a lot of people going through difficult times right now. And we should never forget those. We should never forget to spare time to pray for those people. And as a caring and loving church, we're reminded that we should not have hardened hearts. I'm not saying we have, but just to make sure that we don't get hardened hearts. It could be very easy, wouldn't it? In a very materialistic world, in a very busy world, sometimes we might feel that, you know, actually we're not showing as much care and compassion as we used to, because that's just, we haven't got time for that. I haven't got time to pray for people. I haven't got time to see if Adrian needs a lift to the hospital or whatever. And we're reminded that there are prayers for those who may have a sense that they need to maybe have their hearts softened a little bit, for whatever reason. And that's confirmed by Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 6, which says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man." And this comes back to something that Heather's just said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding. That's a well-known verse, isn't it? In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. We're also reminded, just like the song Cornerstone, that God is our firm foundation. No matter what we're going through, God is our rock. And that God is always there for us. And we're reminded of that in John chapter 10, the good shepherd and his sheep, and how we're all God's sheep. And he knows each and every one of us by name. There's also a change. There are also, prayers for a change in our response to outreach. We have a couple of great resource options here at KBC. We talk about it regularly. Tots and Toddlers meeting tomorrow morning, Home from Home Wednesday afternoon. It's a great way of communicating with the community. Say that in a hurry. Communicating with the community about our love for Jesus Christ. We don't Bible bash. We don't force it down, and we don't preach at them. We're just us. The nice folk that are stood in front of me this morning and those that aren't here with us today. That's being Jesus in stone, isn't it? And we felt that was our legacy. This is what KBC is about. It's what it's known for. So the overarching sense was, a lot of it was about time. Doug, help me out, please. And the next one, hopefully. Yes, please. There we go. I'm slightly behind where I thought I might be by this time. I'll have a quick guess. I should be done by nearly 4:15, but I'm just a bit over. I blame somebody else. I don't know who, but I will do. But the thing that came out of it is, now is the time. Now is the time. Not in the past, Not what's happened historically, now, and what's going forward. Time goes forward. Time never goes backwards. Never goes backwards. Always goes forwards. So should we. And we should use it wisely. For his glory and for his work. But remember that we are not alone in this journey. And one link to the Sunday evening encounter worship was the power of the work that worship gives us to strengthen us, to uplift us, and to draw us closer with his help and his strength. I'm going to try and not get emotional though. Quite often when you do worship sets, it's quite normal, isn't it? You have a really good, powerful session and get everybody up and dancing if you go to these big things. The worship set this morning wasn't like that, was it? It was beautiful. It was just quiet. It was lovely. Because God wanted just to rest on us this morning. So thank you, you guys, because that was just what we needed this morning. It wouldn't have been right to start off with some rousing or something. It would have been nice on another occasion, but it wasn't right for this morning. As a church, we're committed to, are we consecrated? And I think we are, to keep our time and, or to consecrate our time and talents to be united in and to serve him in his church. And I think the answer came out from the week of prayer, not just Monday. The answer is yes. Have I missed anything for those who were there? Does that give a good summary for Monday? Good. Well, you're not getting out of speaking, that's for sure. Right, so that leads us on to Tuesday evening, which was Doug and Kerry. Are you going to... Monday night, sorry, yes. I'm trying to get through the week already. Look. There you go.
Half week of prayer is always a good way to begin our new year at King Baptist Church. It's always exciting, and yet it's a bit of a challenge as we're meeting together to seek the face of God and to hear what his plans and purposes are for us as we go into 2026. It was our turn to lead the Monday evening session, and we had prepared already for this. We prepared Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. That was what the Lord had laid on my heart. So it was brilliant when it came up in the morning. I thought, wow, yes, good. Thank you, Lord. That Monday morning, I'd listened to a talk from Amir Safati on YouTube called Redeem the Time. He is a very good preacher. This was extra to our preparation for Monday evening. Imagine our surprise when we walked in and we saw a picture of a bell tower poised ready to ring in the changes for the year ahead. We talked about change and our response to this. In October, Doug preached about change, and the following week, David Wheatley preached about change again. The Lord is speaking to us. And I find these times, people are quite creative. So Ian, on Monday morning, although he wouldn't say that, we went in and we heard a sound after the bell tower. Tick-tock, tick-tock. And it was played for about a minute, and you got this real sense of the presence of God, and that time was passing. It was ticking away second by second, constantly, to offer prayer points that God had placed on their hearts. And these can be seen on the large sheet as a prayer point, the very theme that Father God placed on our hearts for Monday evening. We need to watch out for these God incidents, to hear, see, and discern what the Lord is saying to us as a fellowship. And we prayed on behalf of all of you. You were all sort of there, because we said to Father, we're coming as the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ in this place. It was a good start to the half week of prayer. In the evening, we began by singing Amazing Grace. It was so poignant, as we have, as a fellowship, been through many dangers, toils and snares in 2025. And it's only by the grace of God that he has seen us through. We praised God for our salvation. And this is the scene, although you cannot see it. Each morning on a table was the cross of Christ with the crown of thorns, a candle signifying that Jesus is the light of the world, and the Word of God. Because when we meet, God gives people verses, and we need to center our eyes on that cross, on that sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and his blood poured out for us. We praise God for our salvation as we centered our minds and hearts on the cross that brought about our salvation. We invited the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to guide us in our prayers. And we referred to the morning session as they linked together, unsurprisingly. And we considered change. We affirmed that the body of Christ is organic. We are a body. A body doesn't stay still, does it? It grows. It replaces cells. It's changing. It's an organic being, constantly changing as we are the living stones. We don't want to become a stagnant pool, do we? Which leads us to stasis. Stagnation, stopping the natural and desirable outflowing from this place. We want to be a healthy body where inflow and outflow glorify God. And so that was our theme. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Very well-known verses. And Claire's going to read them again now, without apology.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
It's a challenge to us all to trust with all our hearts, isn't it? I find it so anyway. That morning we were talking about dedicating. Again, it's going to link in. It's not a mistake. God's speaking. He's saying dedicating ourselves to God, consecrating ourselves. And this church, which is the body and the bride of Christ, anew to a wholehearted devotion, leaning not on our own understanding, not on our own ideas, not on our own opinions, as Terry Virgo says, not even our humble opinions. God is interested in his way, our own agendas, but acknowledging God in all our ways, that he will direct our paths. This is the way that we want church to be. We want his church, his rule, his reign, his ways for his glory. It's not about us, as my darling Michael Down would say. It's all about you, Jesus, for your glory and your fame. Verse 11.
My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke.
I will guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. And then the theme was the paths that God is leading us on. They're his paths. Does it mean everything will be all hunky-dory, all dipsy-doo? Does it mean that we won't have things that really, really challenge our hearts? No, it doesn't. But it means that there'll be his paths. And Claire's going to read verses 20 to 27.
By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster, or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act.
Thank you. So the path of the righteous, thank you, Claire, is level. Isaiah 26 says, O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you, linking in with the encounter worship, waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. This morning's worship, I surrender all. Is that easy? No, it isn't. No, it's not easy. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. And this is true at King's Baptist Church. It has been since we've been here when our children were little. It is now. It's for his name. It's for his renown. They are the desire of our hearts. And from these scriptures, we learn that the paths God wants us to lead us on are firm. They're straight. They're level. Psalm 23, they're paths of righteousness. They're smooth. And he will direct our paths as we look to him. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, we will advance. In 26, we will advance. We will advance because we've heard this morning, Father God has given us hope. He's given us hope. Not hope in a political system. Not hope in the cleverness of men. Hope in our living God. And his son, Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on that cross, whose blood was poured out to buy back the world, to redeem, like Mark was saying this morning in his opening prayer. Lord God, our Redeemer. These things are all knitting together. And then we began to pray for the things that Ian had asked us to pray for. We began to pray for our deacons, stroke elders, stroke trustees, for the process of finding a new pastor, for the future of the children's work, and for the future, the glorious, hopeful, beautiful future of his church, King's Baptist Church.
Thank you, Kerry. Note to self, I'm doing the preaching rota. Liz, no pressure. So Tuesday morning was led by Liz. You want to come forward?
Thank you. Yeah, I was put in the hot seat. But before I start, I just wanted to say that everything that people have said thus far, I can explain. If you think of a jigsaw puzzle and you have a box with all the pieces in that box and you tip that box out and you start putting those pieces together, whether it's the edges or you start with the picture, whichever way you do it, it was like that prior to starting that half week of prayer, God had that jigsaw puzzle box, out already and had already sorted out the pieces. So everything slotted together. So when we got to Wednesday morning, everything had come completely, the last piece in the puzzle. So, sorry, I just went off piece in there. That's what was speaking to me before I came up here. So when I was asked to consider doing this on the Tuesday morning, after praying and preparing for it, God gave me two words, and they were reflection and preparation. And he also reminded me of Janice, who is the Roman God of Gateways. I'll come back to that in a minute. But reflection, when we've already done it this morning, when we've got the cross and the thorns and the light, and we've had communion, and we spent a time of actually reflecting on what those elements actually meant, what the purpose of them were. And they're not just something blasé that we take for granted. They are not something we just see up here every Sunday. There's something that has importance and relevance to us as Christians. And I'm just going to read. I think the best way for me to do it is to read what I shared, because I think that's what God put on my heart for Wednesday morning. So please bear with me. I'm just going to read it, okay? In the Bible, we're given instructions for both reflection and preparation, so therefore they must be important. Both words are very familiar to us, but what exactly are they? Reflection. Start there. This can be either active or passive. Now, active reflection is something that is intentional, where we choose to pause and think deeply about something. It's a conscious effort to understand our why and our how, whilst we aim to learn, improve decision-making, and foster self-awareness. Passive reflection, in contrast, is based around unfocused thought and effort, and is less structured, for example, daydreaming. So it's like, comes into my head, yeah, okay, think about that. But you have to really be set on it. Therefore, reflection becomes powerful when it's an active, deliberate practice, transforming experiences into learning opportunities. And I just felt that that was something that God was saying, that we have to be proactive going forward now and really be resolute in what we do, to reflect on who he is, what he means to us, and where we're going, but literally to be resolute. And in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4, it says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So that was reflection. Then we went on. We did pray about things reflecting as well as preparation. We did it all and had a solid time for prayer and worship as well. But I'm just giving you the sense of where we went. Preparation. This is an act of preparing, being prepared and ready for what lies ahead. It's also something that is active rather than passive, that we have to set ourselves to do. So again, God's saying, set yourself. So whatever you're doing, you need to be determined and not distracted from it. And then we had Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour.'" So again, it's a case of reflecting and preparation. In the Bible, as I said, they're in there as instructions and they're important. It's something that for us to bear in mind. And at the start of it, I also said that I've been reminded of Janus, the Roman god of gateways. I don't know if anybody knows or heard of Janus, but for those who don't, Janus is a unique Roman god in that there is no Greek equivalent for him. For the Romans, he was the god of beginnings, endings, including the start of the year, doorways, transitions, time and duality, for example, war and peace, past and future. He was crucial in Roman life, presiding over gates like the Temple of Janus in Rome, which was opened in war, closed in peace. All passages symbolizing change and new starts. The month of January is named after him, and he's usually shown with two faces, holding a key and a staff. I did bring a picture at the time, but sorry, I didn't bring that this morning. But it's basically, you think of a face looking behind and a face looking forward. The god Janus was a very popular Roman deity represented with two faces, one face to see the past and holding the staff to ward it off and leaving it, the past, behind, the other looking to the future and holding a key to open up new experiences and opportunities. And then I just felt God say this as well while I was writing this down. And he said, as we are embarking on this new year, both personally and corporately, it's as if we've been a Janus at a crossroads. That's the picture I had in my head, that that's where we are is now. We can either go back to where we were with all that, or we can move forward into what God wants for us. We can either remain set, and one of the words we had was stagnant, that Kerry brought on the Monday night, but this came up in the words as well that God had given me as well, which I'll read in a second. We've been asked to take the time to look back and reflect on the past. Past happenings, both good and bad, sadness and joy, failings and achievements, asking of ourselves, what have we learnt about who we are as children of God and as a corporate body in this place? So he's asking us to really examine ourselves, like we do before communion, but examining in a different way. But we're being told of the importance in our reflecting to have also an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness for all that God has blessed us with up to this point, to be mindful of both the goodness and faithfulness of God. Now is a time whereby we're being encouraged to look forward to spring and new beginnings as this new year begins. For I tell you, says the Lord, that this is a time whereby you must leave the past in the past. You must break the habit of continually going back and alluding to it. You must stop continually raking it up. Otherwise, you will become stagnant pools that smell and become a spiritual offense and irritation to me. If you continue to be rebellious, disobedient, hypocritical, and exhibit idolatrous behavior, all of which is abhorrent and continually provoking rather than pleasing to me. For have I not told you, in Isaiah 65, verse 5, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are stench in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. I just thought it was a very strong word that God gave us, that we need not to be taking what he's saying to us lightly or trivially. It's something he's really saying, this is what you need to do. And then as we hear the birds singing arrival of new things to come, so we should be expectantly awaiting and listening to God's still small voice for going forward. We must lay down our own personal agendas. At the start of this year, it's time to seek God for all he has in store for us and to be reminded not what we want, but what he wants. So when we come before him with our worship and prayers, let us be an offering that's a sweet-smelling savour rather than being a stench in his nostrils. So basically that was what God was saying. I know it's a strong word and it's very hard even for me standing here to share it with you, but please take it in good faith. It's not me.
Thank you, Liz. But like I said, you can see the threads going through all of this, can't you? Mark. You mean, oh, don't say you're surprised. But you've got 2 minutes.
That's all it's going to take. But yeah. It's quite a journey for me because as I'm sort of growing in my faith and learning more about God and praying more, which I didn't used to do, I walk around and pray a lot. I pray in my head. I don't pray out loud. So this is very different for me to lead something like this. And it was inspirational. I just, it was overwhelming. It was really good. I say I've talked before about seeing purple. I was just lit up all the way through. And it was nice to pray with other people, and it just really fired up the Spirit of God, didn't it? So mine's going to be very short, so wonderful. Right, so I mean, I had a few verses. They're on here. I'll just drag them up because, yeah, drag them up. Wheel them up. Right, and we started off Matthew 18:20, where Jesus promises, "For where there are two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them," for the power of prayer. That's the first one there. And then we had Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And Jeremiah 33:3. "Call on me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." And Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Also, Galatians 6:2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way we will fulfill the law of Christ." Almighty God, thank you. Yeah, so I had the basic theme of, I talked about worrying about people in my family that haven't got faith, and they don't know God yet, so that was my theme really. So praying for people and families that do not know God yet, and for people that need healing in their lives, and different regions, emotional loss and sickness. We prayed for all that thing, and it was wonderful. And then at the end, Ian concluded for me. So he drew it all together, and he drew this wonderful little cartwheel here. And again, he was talking about the legacy of our church, which is absolutely wonderful. So he drew a lovely flat. He said that was flat, didn't he? That was flat, yes. It's his best drawing, so have a look. You might see this in the Louvre at some point, and maybe in a museum in London or something like that. So, yeah, there's the wheel. It's a cart wheel, and it's got lots of spokes. And on each part of the spoke, he drew a candle, and he said, "That's us. This is this church. We are the lights of this church, and we go out in this community." And he talks about how other people see us. So, you know, we are warm. And we are friendly church, and we are strong in our love for God. And I think people can see that when they come and visit and they walk and see us, don't they? And we had a few songs. I always do everything in threes, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I brought a candle, nice lavender candle, with three bits on it, so I lit that. And then we started off with open the eyes of our heart, Lord, which I felt appropriate. And then we sang Run to the Father, which is a beautiful song, and I know that touches Ian's heart. And then one thing remains, God's love. God's love for all of us, blessing us all, his grace and his mercy. And that, yeah, I mean, it's the first time I've done it, and it was wonderful. It's a really good experience, just the power of prayer together, people gathered together, praying together. It was marvellous. Loved it. Right, so we're going to... One more?
Wednesday morning.
Vicky. Hello, Vicky.
Hello, Vicky. I'm Vicky now. Thank you, Mark.
You're not as good looking as
I. Very true. I can't argue. Can't argue with that in any shape or form. And again, as Vicky concluded, I'm going to keep this brief. As Vicky concluded, her sense was about love in action. And we've already talked about that, haven't we, really, in terms of how we are as a church. You know, God's amazing grace and... I can't remember who said it now, but talking about living with intention. Do we intend to use Liz? About being intentional in what we do. Do we do it because we just do it, or how we are going to deliberately go out and do it? And she said that, one quote she said, as Mother Teresa said, that love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put in action. And something else came out in Philippians 2:4. "Let each of you... look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to an..." Let me read that again, because that didn't sound right. "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future, but to a known God." And she gave us a quote from Corrie ten Boom, which says, if I got this right, Amazing Grace, the reason you are worthy is not because of anything you have or you have not done. It is because your body carries a soul that extends much deeper than your skin. It is because you have the ability to think and feel and choose and love and to believe, to live with intention, came out again. To soak yourself in both sunlight and rain and come to understand that you need equal portions of warmth and water to grow. How beautiful to know that we are not measured by what holds us captive, but rather by what sets us free. Amazing grace. Romans 6, verse 4. Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father. Even so, we are also should walk in the newness of life. What is going to be new for us as a church this year? God's grace is enough. And Matthew 11, 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It might seem that we're in a difficult place. We're looking for a minister. Everybody's working really hard to serve the church, but God is in charge. And for us that were there, and thank you for those who couldn't make it but did pray, you know, prayer is powerful. You know, and we haven't asked for testimonies this week, but if, you know, we know that prayer is working. And we should never give up. We should never feel that we are alone in this journey. God is doing something. And I think hopefully you can appreciate through what we've heard this morning, that he was telling us that all week through the prayers. So let's be encouraged. Let's give thanks. Let's walk the tough times together. Let's be the wagon wheel with the spokes, because I'm going to bring it back up again just to reiterate. This came from something I said a long while back, or a couple of ones before, that if you think about a wagon wheel, God is in the center. We all have a relationship with God. But as a church, we have a relationship with each other. And if any of that breaks, then church is broken. Our church isn't broken. Our church is together, and we're going on a journey. And let's go on that journey together with love and grace and mercy and anticipation and joy and expectation and maybe a bit of trepidation. But let's do it together. Amen. Going to close in our last song, Mark, which is
two. Let me just put this bit in here.
Go on then.
You said about testimony, but I have to say,
hang on, let me just make sure your microphone's on before you.
This week we sort of started off choosing songs for our worship today, and I got up last night, and to Mark's horror and disgust, I changed every single song today, this morning, and chose all of these songs. And I felt that they were really, really important. But what I want to turn around and sort of say is, we've got two more songs to sing today, and I feel that they're really relevant. And the reason why I feel that they're relevant is, right at the beginning, Kerry said, on the Monday, she started to pray and she sang about Amazing Grace. And I just want to turn around and say is, I prayed to God and I asked him to give me the songs, and he chose every single one of them. And today we are going to finish off with Amazing Grace. So I felt that it was really relevant. It tied in with everything that's been going on this week. And I just feel like the relevance of coming together and working together and knowing where God wants us to take us is so important. So we're going to finish off with Blessed Assurance and Amazing Grace.
Blessed Assurance.